It's Sunday, August 25th, 2024, and Robert F. Kennedy's endorsement of Trump has sent shockwaves to the political spectrum. Strap yourselves in.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
71 days, the most important election in world history. But if you add together the 76 days that comes after that in the countdown when President Trump is president-elect, it's 147 days, 18 hours, 59 minutes. I am very honored to be here with you tonight. That was an incredible speech in Arizona Friday with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., fully endorsing Trump and going on the campaign trail with him and now hitting national television and major podcasts in the last 48 hours. Massive, massive, incredible developments, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to go through all of the news in the next 2 hours, or most of it. A lot of stuff's breaking as we speak. And then Chase Geiser's coming in 6 to 8 p.m. Central for Sunday Night Live for another 2 hours of live transmission. I decided to shave my head again for the last stretch of the campaign, get in Spartan mode here, ladies and gentlemen. So here we are. Wow. Look, any way you slice it, Kennedy, Tulsi Gabbard's, all these real respected non-communist Democrats endorsing Trump is just seismic, and it just pokes more holes in the fraud that is Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and the fact that they stole the election almost 4 years ago. They've been gaslighting us ever since and running the country into the ground and lying about jobless numbers and totally opening the border and saying Kamala Harris isn't the border czar. It's just insane. We're going to be hitting all of that tonight, how illegal aliens in their own policies are to be given free health care, driver's license, able to vote, free housing, and free medical. That's something even you didn't get under the GI Bill when you served your country. So this is a very, very dangerous moment for the country and the world. This is how they plan to bring in a group that can outvote the citizens. It is pure treason. And this is on top of it. Students left without bus service as Massachusetts funds buses for illegals. That on top of Kamala Harris and her co-chair Whitmer saying illegals should get everything free. California moves towards zero down payment mortgages for illegal immigrants, not for citizens. The western state where migrants, that's Oregon, get 30,000 home buyer grants, but citizens are excluded. 30,000 free bucks. This is just the tip of the iceberg. Meanwhile, horror, military parents lose custody of 16-year-old autistic son after refusing to let him transition to a girl. Son is currently in foster care, living with non-gendered chaplain named Lavander. Yep, they get the mentally ill, the retarded children, and they sterilize them. Can't sign up for the military, can't buy liquor, can't buy cigarettes, but in the UK, they're trying to cut six-year-olds' penises off. Here it's age 7. Unbelievable. Anti-Trump pollster Frank Luntz says RFK Jr. endorsement could make the difference and propel Trump to victory. Trump's already way ahead, but they have a baked-in margin of fraud of 10%, according to all the research experts and myself have done. This added 6 to 12 points, depending on how you look at it, depending on how people vote, will devastate them, and they are just in total panic mode. This means they will try to kill Trump now more than ever. And they're going to come out with a free speech. When you see the founder and head of the popular Twitter-style site Telegram, Pavel Durov, arrested yesterday when he landed in France, you know that's the model for everybody else, and the main target's Elon Musk. That's coming up and more today. I'm Alex Jones. Follow me on X at RealAlexJones and at Infowars.com/show as well as band.video. Well, when you've got RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, Elon Musk, and so many other prominent top former Democrats coming out and saying the Democratic Party is a criminal mafia that is endangering not just America, but the world of World War III, and working with Big Pharma and Big Food to poison our children. And when you've got Kennedy saying we've got to come together because we love our children more than we love to hate each other, The globalists have got a big, big problem. And they are absolutely up against the wall. They are the cornered rats that they are. And with only, what, how many days left of the election? 72, 73? Put it up on screen. They are going to create black swan events. They are going to try to create 71 days. All sorts of crises and false flags, if they can pull it off, to try to scare us back under their control. They're going to try to manipulate Russia into expanding the war, as they've been doing in the last now 20 days with the Ukrainian invasion into Russia. And things are just getting started right now. Now, I want to air some of the incredible excerpts from the Kennedy-Trump rally in Arizona Friday. Also, there was the incredibly historic speech of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. when he endorsed Trump on Friday. We also have so much other news. I want to make sure I get to that first before we get into all those clips. They were amazing. And Roger Stone joins us with updates and breaking news in the last 30 minutes of the show, coming up in about an hour and 22 minutes from now. But it's very important to understand that the campaign has been about making America great again. But what really makes America great again? We have the worst childhood obesity, the worst autism, the worst cancer rates, the worst fatty liver, the worst everything, and the worst health care of any industrialized nation, and a bunch of other third world nations are ahead of us, in the world. We're being killed by design. Just like they admitted last Thursday, the federal government, okay, the fluoride lowers your IQ, gives you cancer, dumbs you down, destroys your fertility. The dam is breaking, and all of this information is starting to come out. So the fact that Kennedy and Trump pledged, not just in a speech with Kennedy, but in a video announcement he made before the rally, that his main legacy will be reversing the disease and record death in our children that is our future. And I was sent by the head of the campaign last night, and I put it up on X this morning, their new official banner, image, and slogan, M-A-H-A, MAHA, Make America Healthy Again. So we broke that, and they've been being really nice, giving a lot of exclusive behind-the-scenes photos and more. And I'm just going to leave it at that. We could obviously get Kennedy on the show, but I agree with the strategic reasons that I am so polarizing with all the demonization that would become a distraction. So once Trump's in the White House, we'll definitely get Trump and Kennedy on the show for listeners. I keep asking for that, but I think it's a distraction at this point, so that's a side issue. Let's just move on from it. But you do notice that I broke Tuesday that Kennedy would be making that announcement on Friday. That would probably be with Trump. They were going to do it in Los Angeles. They decided to move it so he could be with Trump there in southern Arizona. And it's not about me saying, oh, look, I was right again. I wasn't right. They just didn't lie to me. It wasn't like I predicted or looked into a crystal ball. I was told that by high up in the campaign sources. I'll leave it at that. Not Dale Bigtree, he's campaign manager, but some other folks. Very close to Kennedy. I'll leave it at that. And so there you go. Tomorrow's news today. People were really on my ass saying I made that up Tuesday. And then he just said the next day I got a big announcement coming up Friday. They're like, well, you're still making it up. I don't ever make stuff up on purpose. I get things wrong here and there. I mispronounce names a lot. Sometimes I flip statistics around because I'm teleprompter free. But I never get something wrong on purpose. I want to be credible. I want to be truthful. I want to be the opposite of corporate media. I want to be the opposite of CNN and MSNBC and the Washington Post, New York Times. And we are. And that's why they want us off air, because they know, people know, 98% of the time, we're dead on. So I said I'd get to more of the clips later after I hit all this other news. We'll do the whole RFK Trump situation next hour. There's a lot to cover, a lot to unpack. You know, it trended on X, it trended on Instagram, and all over the national news yesterday that Trump is going to replace Vance with RFK Jr. That is the left and corporate media trying to undermine Vance and Trump to act like there's something wrong with Vance when he's great. And that was never the intention, and that's not going to happen. And I got that directly from very high up in the Trump operation. I'll leave it at that. Like, real high up. Just like I got the information high up on RFK. And folks are being nice to me because they recognize we're one of the biggest bulldogs for liberty out there. And so we're going to be getting a lot more exclusives here on Trump and on everything else that surrounds it, because it is recognized that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And I say that as a report to our backers, the real shareholders of this broadcast that have kept this embattled ship in the fight, is you, the viewers and listeners. So I just want to continue to give you the good news that you're backing of this operation, because you are our commissioners. You have commissioned this operation. Just like I'm a missionary that some church finances to go save souls, you know, in Latin America or Africa or Eastern Europe or something. I respect you at the maximum level, and I appreciate you. And I also will report back to you. We're kicking some ass. So thank you. And you're kicking ass with us. Because, I mean, I would have no energy to swing my leg and my foot into the New World Order's arse if it wasn't for you. So thank you for the energy and the will and the support and the intel and all of it. So just want to always be thankful and humble, and thank you all for commissioning us. You know, like when you commission a painter to do a artwork or something. Well, you've commissioned me with your support and your word of mouth to be here. And so I just respectfully ask you to keep us in the fight and keep us in the game. All right. Let's go ahead and get to a few clips, though, because they're so good I can't help it. Here is Trump when he talks about the 325,000 missing children. Now, the corporate media and the fact checkers tried to attack this, but then they got destroyed when people started posting on X and other places right under it. The fact that the Senate report from 9 years ago about Obama, when he opened the border up, just partially compared to Biden, and how there was an estimated 500,000 unaccountable minors, and that over 50,000 were under the age of five, and that many had been found, thousands, over 10,000. You just type in Senate report finds children smuggled across border found in sex slavery, Washington Post. You'll get that from 9 years ago. Or 2000 and late 2015 was early 2016. And that was then. Then last year, they had a Senate report that there were 480-something thousand children under the age of 12 in the U.S. under Biden. That was only 2.5 years in. Now we're 3.5 years in or more. And that then 89,000 had completely disappeared. Well, the new numbers came out last week, and I hadn't even seen these yet. I guess Trump did. I looked it up. Yeah, there it is. Obama administration placed children with human traffickers, Senate report says. Washington Post. And scroll the date. Let's see if my memory serves. Is it late 2015 or is it 16? Scroll down. Just want to see my memory. Scroll down, please. All right, maybe we can't do that. So issue here is that now... Yeah, it's January 28, 2016. Okay, there you go. So early 2016. I remembered it was late in 2015 or early 2016. So there, nailed it again. I just want to show you that I'm not just, people seem to be here, see me talking, and then this guy's, you know, making this stuff up. No, they're in there checking everything I say. And a few percentage points, my memory isn't photographic like it was till I was about 40. It's no longer photographic. It was. And it was actually painful because I remembered everything. And the good thing about age is it's just kind of like your sight. It starts to fade. But I've still got very good recall. But I digress. So the point is there's new ICE Border Patrol report out with the Senate numbers. And it is the number Trump said, 325,000 children. And they found some of them dead, a lot of them in sex slavery. But it just it's in the local news. It doesn't hit the national news. So when you see Kamala Harris talking about how she found out somebody was reportedly abusing a child sexually when she was young and she reported it, and then she's presided as the border czar for the last 3.5+ years over the biggest trafficking of children the world has ever seen, along with her compatriot and her accomplice, Alejandro Mayorkas. I mean, these people are real supervillains. The stuff, I mean, and then even the New York Times over a year ago reported hundreds of thousands have been found not even going to school, as young as 9, average age 12, sleeping in warehouses on cots at tire factories and cereal factories and food processing factories and meat packing factories. I mean, what are adults doing at these meat packing factories and at these in Ohio and Michigan and Illinois, some of the most corrupt states, as you know, when it comes to slave labor, and you're there and little kids are sleeping there and little kids are getting caught and hurt and killed in the machines? That's in the news. That's the New York Times is telling you that, and they're whitewashing it. But of course, you call the cops in those areas of Michigan or those areas of Illinois or Ohio, they're on the payroll. They don't come. Oh, those are illegal alien kids. You can just use them. They're the lucky ones. That which doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. I'm not saying it's good, but at least they're not getting raped. So you cannot molest it. You cannot make this up. And because the New York Times reporting it, Tyson and Purdue are facing child labor investigations. And of course, the left wants to ban a child under the age of 15 helping milk cows on the family farm or helping drive a tractor and shredding for hay. Oh, but if you want children in sex slavery, it's A-okay. So here's Trump hitting on all cylinders.
Listen to this. 325,000 migrant children are gone. They're missing. She allowed them to be trafficked into our country. Many of these children are now in sex slavery or they're dead, probably mostly dead. They will never see their homes or their parents again. They were swiped out of their homes. They were taken out of their homes. 300. This is a government number, 325,000 children, sex slaves, or they're dead. Many are dead. Hamas has sold them.
When we put this two-hour show up tonight at Band.Video and Real Alex Jones on X, I want that clip at the start of the show. More of that. And that's really what I should have said up front. I meant to say this right when I came on 19 minutes ago, and I kind of dropped the ball because I need to announce the big theme I'm seeing here. I think you're seeing it too. I've seen it all over X. I didn't need to tell people this. Everybody sees it. Trump just took the gloves off and took it up another level with RFK Jr. And RFK Jr., I was talking to his campaign head last night, is really influencing Trump heavily. Trump really likes Bobby Kennedy and is really respects him and is listening to him. And Trump told him personally, and Kennedy talked about this in his speech Friday, that Trump pledged to him that he wants to make it his legacy to detoxify the food and the water and get the GMOs out and stop Big Pharma. He and privately, you already saw a leaked video of this, but I've got the inside baseball. Trump said, look, I tried to get the economy going. I tried to get all the therapeutics going. They lied to me. I do think they're, quote, giving the kids too much, too big a shot. That's his way of mentally dealing with it because Trump won't admit he's wrong. Part of one of his strengths is that he's very pig-headed, very donkey-like, very mule-like. And I am too, but not to that extent. But behind the scenes, he said, look, we'll clean this up. You're right. I got conned. I got screwed. Kennedy wanted him and almost didn't endorse Trump. Kennedy wanted him to come out against Warp Speed and say he'd been lied to and say it publicly. But Trump may do that still. It'll be the first time ever he admits he's wrong, but we're this close. And I've talked to people that were from both sides that were in the discussions. Because Trump knows I've talked to Trump and talked to his people. And Trump's like, I don't want to hear from you again. You know, you keep bringing this up to me. I've told the story. It was a couple years ago. So he's still the lesser of two evils, so I'm supporting him. But now putting Kennedy in there and reporting to put him in charge of this, it's going to be huge. Regardless on big commissions that report to Congress. Because Trump is thinking he can get him appointed to HHS. Because those are need Senate approval. But Trump can make him the CIA director because that's the executive branch appointed by the president. And a little bird told me that he is in strong consideration for the director of the CIA and that Kennedy hadn't even thought about that. So Trump is asking, would he want that job? Now, I'll be honest. I think Trump ought to, the globalists already know, though, but Trump ought to be keeping that to himself. I mean, the deep state's already tried to kill him. That scares the living snot out of them. So every little thing I'm saying here, if I shot its own video about it and put it on X, it'd get 5 million views. In fact, the live show on all these radio stations is great, and I love it, but kind of the format, I'm just up here breaking bombshell after bombshell after bombshell, and it doesn't even really do it justice, does it? Trump exposes the elephant in the room, the demon in the room, the giant sex slavery, many of the kids killed, all confirmed, but nobody's talking about it. That's ultra massive. That's a huge story. Trump considering him for CIA director, over the top, wild. Trump already saying he's going to set up multiple commissions with executive power. That means Trump will sign executive orders off of his recommendations to bypass the tyranny of Congress and to bypass them, you know, not approving him, and that he'll follow those recommendations on the poison food, everything else. I mean, this, all of this is so sensationally good. It makes me so happy, but then I'm also not stupid, and I know you're not stupid. If you think the New World Order was fighting for their lives before, they are on death's doorstep politically. I mean, this is spectacular. And I got to just say this, and I'll talk about it coming up after the break, because they're coming after Musk. Musk, Christ said you judge a tree by its fruit. So you can argue all day, oh, on Halloween he wore a devil outfit. Okay. Or he was for this or that. Move all that aside. You judge a tree by its fruits. Elon Musk is annihilating the globalists. He is devastating their operations. He's cleaning their clocks. And he's doing irrevocable, massive systemic damage to their operations worldwide. They are in total hysteria mode. Okay? And so I will say it right now. And I told Elon Musk this months ago, and he responded to my tweet and my video, Tucker Carlson, and said, I agree with you. I'm going to up my security. And I know people that work with him. He's like tripled it, basically. And he's doing a lot of stuff I'm not going to talk about on air. And now he's really beefed it after they saw them try to kill Trump. Because Musk isn't dumb. He knows he's next. Kennedy knows he's next. I know I'm next. Tucker knows he's next. It's like my mother goes, I like Trump, but why are you all in constantly? Like, your life depends on it. My God, worry about your family. 2 weeks ago at dinner, and I said, Mom, they're trying to get through him to get to me and all of us. That when Trump says that, that's damn true, people. That's not some saying here. When that bullet almost killed him, if they could kill Trump, what do you think they're going to do to me? They're going for broke once they steal this election. I'm getting chills right now. They're all over the news saying they're going to have martial law and round us all up. Do people comprehend what I'm saying? Comprende? I mean, we're not in Kansas anymore, people. And the good news is the public's finally getting the urgency. And everybody from Naomi Wolf, super respected on the left, to, you know, people on the far right are all saying the Democrats are cancer, they're psychotic, they're demons, they've got to be stopped. All right, I said I wouldn't play these clips, but it's got too many. I got like 20 of them. Let's go out to break with a clip 17 and 18. I mean, here he is all over multiple Fox shows. He's all over all the top shows. The globalists hate this coming out on the news. They hate this being discussed. They hate the secrets of their GMOs and their seed oils and all the toxins they put in there on purpose that are so addictive and make you fat and unhealthy. Oh, now it's official. Bill Gates has launched Franken cows that don't fart or burp and aren't even cows. Super toxic. We've got news on that. It's over the top, all of it. But let's go out to break with RFK Jr., just a few of the clips of him going full on against Big Pharma and Big Food. That's the same group. Here it is.
Campaigning actively, I think President Trump is going to make a series of announcements about other Democrats who are joining his campaign. And, you know, I want to make America healthy again, and so does President Trump. So those are objectives. The Wall Street Journal may be worried about shareholder value for pharmaceutical companies. And I think, you know, I talk specifically President Trump about that issue, and he said that he wanted to leave as his legacy healthy children, and that, you know, that that he was unconcerned about the other implications.
Is it fair to say that you would try to dismantle some of those organizations?
No, I wouldn't dismantle them. I would change the focus, and I would end the corruption. I would, right now, 75% of FDA's budget is coming from pharmaceutical companies. That is a perverse incentive. In NIH, scientists and officials in NIH who work on drug development, who incubate drugs for the pharmaceutical company, get to collect lifetime royalties from those products. These are regulators. They're supposed to be looking for problems in those products. We have these agencies that have become sock puppets for the industries they're supposed to regulate. So they're not really interested in public health. Everybody, the most profitable thing today in America is a sick child. Everybody's making money. The hospitals are making money. The pharmaceutical companies are making money. Even the insurance companies make money. And we need to end those perverse incentives. We need to get the corruption out of FDA, out of NIH, out of CDC, and make them function as they're supposed to function, which is to protect public health and particularly children's health.
And by the way, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is doing devastating damage to the cult. They want to medicalize them for their life, suck millions of dollars out of them, just like the transgender movement targets mainly autistic and mentally ill children, where they take them away from their children and then convince someone who's mentally ill or low IQ to be sterilized, saying it's a cool identity. It's like a kid will want to be Superman. You're not really Superman. So it's the same thing. And our children are dying. And just praise God for what's happened with RFK Jr. And all the massive coverage he's getting. This is everything we've asked for happening. The cult of death, of depopulation, is being exposed. Bill Maher and I, Patch McCain, along with James Carville, were crapping bricks last night talking about RFK Jr.
Although it's a little murky, he says he's still on the ballot in some places, but he did say, I am giving my endorsement to Donald Trump.
I'll take it too, for those of us who are a certain age
who grew up with the Kennedys, I mean, to have a Kennedy endorse not just any Republican but the worst one ever, what do we make of this, gentlemen?
Well, you know, every family has a whatever. That guy is not weird. There's something that, there's an expression he uses in yours. That boy ain't right. Okay? There's something way weird. You're weird. Okay? That's nothing wrong with being weird. But that boy ain't right. He just did something wrong. He hit his head or something. I don't know what.
I wouldn't go that far.
I would.
Okay.
Sunday Night Live. RFK, Trump alliance sends the left into total hysteria. It sends shockwaves across the political spectrum. Deep state now in full panic mode. So, I could take that one-minute clip and teach a college course on it. Carville's completely weird, one of the creepiest dudes on the planet. You got Eyepatch McCain up there, who is about as leftist as Mao Zedong, and lies to his constituents constantly, laughing and smiling and nodding his head while they talk crap about Trump and RFK Jr., and then not even Maher agrees with him because he knows almost everybody watching likes Trump and RFK. But if you're driving around in Texas, and I saw one of these the other day, and you've got a Eyepatch McCain sticker on your car, something's wrong with you. But as I said, they are apoplectic. They don't know what to do. And so their answer is Trump and RFK Jr. are weird. No, Tim Walz, Tampon Tim, is weird. Supporting communism, supporting radical Islam, being a communist Chinese agent. That's weird. These people are weird. And that's all they got, is that we're weird? But I guess if you're some type of weird pervert, people that aren't are weird to you. We've got thousands of more fake articles they admit that Kamala Harris pays for to be put in newspapers and online at Google and the rest of it about how she's way ahead and Trump doesn't have any energy and you know, she's incredible. She's not given one interview since they replaced Biden with her. And that leads me to this. This is just an incredible clip. It's short, it's sweet, and it shows you the arrogance of these people. Once I was out to dinner with a very prominent person, and Gavin Newsom, about a year ago, a little less than a year ago, called them during the dinner. And so the individual talked to him a few minutes while our steaks were coming, hung up the phone, showed me some of the text messages from him, just said, just don't say my name. And Newsom's like, please don't talk bad about me on your podcast. Please be nice to me. I really agree with you guys. I'm doing the best I can. I know this is all bull. And that's what he was begging him on the phone to do. Please, my kids watch you. Please don't talk bad about me. So here's Newsom, who'd wrecked California, passed all these laws where, you know, they can have, men can have sex with 12-year-old boys, literally, signed it, done all these other terrible things. And his new thing is just to say, yeah, we did clean up San Francisco for the communist Chinese dictator. So what? Get used to it. So now he goes on a podcast yesterday. It's on InfoWars.com. We'll see the full thing. Governor Newsom laughs over DNC switch to Kamala Harris, says he was told to call it inclusive. So he admits it's a fraud. He admits he's a puppet. He admits it's a lie. And he laughs about it with other Democrat Party operatives. And other Democrats tune in when the joke's on them as the idiot constituents, where they then laugh at themselves being conned. It'd be like if somebody sold you a car saying it was new, and you find out that it's 3 years old and was in a flood and it's completely worthless and the engine doesn't even start. There's been cases of that. Oh, it's a brand new car. You buy it, never even starts. And then you laugh. Oh, you conned me. You ripped me off. This is so cute. Kamala Harris isn't going to give you free tips. Kamala Harris isn't going to give you no taxes on tips. Trump, if he says it, will do it. Again, everything with them, it's like claiming Taylor Swift and Beyonce and George W. Bush were all going to be at the DNC the last night because no one was wanting to come. It was so boring to the fourth day, and they couldn't fill the bleachers, so they put out through their surrogates, through their influencers on their payroll, like Don Lemon, to say, oh, word is Beyonce and Taylor Swift tonight. I told you 2 weeks before that, I saw influencers saying Taylor Swift would be there. And people went, well, wait, she's in Europe. I didn't say she was going to be there. I saw the influencers saying 2 weeks before that. I'm not bragging. I just noticed stuff. I'm sitting there scanning this, and I see this big crowd, and I see people. I go and search into some of the folks that are there to see if the crowd was that big. And what they did is bunch them all together and put them in like a column so it looked bigger out of the airplane. And they did a close camera shot, so that's a trick. They put out some AI photos that added crowd as well. I mean, but that was a big crowd. I mean, it was like 20,000, biggest she ever had, until the DNC, where they paid most of them to be there. And I found out that they said Taylor Swift would be there. And sure as hell, people said, oh, Jones, you didn't see that. I don't have the crew of the people. I should have like an off-air crew of like three guys with me or girl, whoever, three people. And then I'm like, see that? See that? And just film me seeing it and then just put reports out in live time because I move so fast, it's hard to do it. And I put out the tweet. It went viral, got millions of views, millions of reads on X. People said, and then some of the commenters like, well, wait, here is a link where they said Taylor Swift would be there. Yeah, yeah. And that was a beta test, so that worked. So they tried it again at the DNC. But this time they had big influencers do it. Big, so-called big talk show host. And people hear, you know, Don Lemon saying, well, I hear it's going to be Beyonce and it's going to be Taylor Swift. And my God, Elvis is going to be there too. And the Martians. Abraham Lincoln's going to show up. So here's Governor Newsom laughs over DNC switch to Kamala Harris, says he was told it was inclusive. It makes a big joke about how she was installed. Here it is.
There's an intangible. It's different.
How are you feeling about the switch?
I mean, the switch. Now, just, we went through a very open process, a very inclusive process. It was bottom up. I don't know if you know that. Yes, that's what I've been told to say.
Yes, it was a blitz primary, I believe that's what they called it.
It's a very, very fast blitz. I think it was a blink primary, so we draw that.
A 30-minute convention, between a tweet and another tweet.
It's amazing how it happened.
Yeah, it's been amazing. But what is amazing is how unified everybody is. Yeah. I mean, it's next level.
So,
all right, I want to shift gears for now for the rest of the hour into some other news, and then I'm going to come back into all this next hour, and then Roger Stone's coming on. There's so much more I haven't gotten to yet, but that's an amazing clip. If you think that's amazing, I've got stuff even more over the top. Laughing at their own constituents. Now, there are a lot of top scientists coming out and pointing this out, and I posted a bunch of these interviews on X today at Real Hawk Jones. You should go watch them. And I guess I forgot to send them to the crew. My fault, but during this video I'm about to play, I'm going to send them a few of these clips because we need to see these. Respected top government advisors, you name it. We're getting top people now. We've always had top scientists, but now insiders are going, look, Bill Gates has been hyping bird flu for 20 years and funding all the research and the so-called vaccines. And it looks like they're already putting out some manipulated versions of it. And we believe he's getting ready to release something really serious, really strong, on to the public, the way they're hyping this and saying imminently a new strain that actually kills humans and spreads is going to be out. It's obvious. They've lined it up, and the next thing on the trajectory is very, 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 very clear. But Bill Gates also, in South America and in Florida and on the East Coast, has been releasing mosquitoes to supposedly control mosquito populations that are mutants, and he's also been talking about releasing mosquitoes that forcibly give you injections and forcibly biologically, just like a head of lettuce can be engineered to be a vaccine or something else. It can be a pharmacological crop, a mosquito, a grape, a lettuce, a tomato, a potato, dates, yams, you name it. They can have plants grow this in it live. So now he's been doing all sorts of weird experimental releases of viruses, and all of a sudden these fevers that have never been in the United States are suddenly here. And then really rare stuff like Zika. We have Fauci all of a sudden getting West Nile infection. Now, I mean, that's like 1 in 20 million people. I mean, I looked it up. It's like super rare. Fauci magically gets it. No, he just volunteers to be the guy that fearmongers to kind of change news about himself. Instead of him being the guy that killed 30-something million people by pushing the poison shots worldwide and being a total liar and saying the shots worked and all the rest of it and being behind the creation of gain of function in the virus and all the rest of it. Oh, he's been in the hospital secretly for, you know, all these days. He's got West Nile virus. But now he's back at home. Who believes any of this? So this new report just went live. I'm posting it on X right now. It's on Infowars.com. It broke after I was already on the air. Bill Gates mosquitoes and the October surprise. Here it is.
Oxford, Massachusetts, and three neighboring towns have a reason for concern as mosquitoes carrying a potentially deadly virus called Eastern Equine Encephalitis, or Triple E, infected a resident who is now fighting for his life. The rare but dangerous disease can cause swelling in the brain. There's no treatment, and anyone can get infected. The death rate is as high as 30%.
Like, I know they're releasing genetically modified mosquitoes, but it's like airdropping it from a black helicopter?
The GMO mosquitoes are not dying. They are thriving. Bill Gates is up to his demonic eugenicist tricks again, bankrolling genocide in Brazil on both sides of the coin.
Further out in the future, we'll actually have gene drive, which changes the genetics of the mosquitoes and either reduces their population or reduces how long they live. That could have dramatic benefits. We have great tools today that we need to keep evolving and some very exciting ones in the pipeline, because those will be key to achieve our ultimate goal, of eradication.
The UN's World Mosquito Program announced in 2023 a plan to release billions of gene-edited mosquitoes in Brazil over a 10-year period in a bid to eradicate dengue fever in the country.
Rio has registered over 10,000 cases of dengue fever in just over a month.
Here's 2015. So it was introduced in 2014. You can see it went up for a couple years and then it dropped. So it seemed, oh, maybe it's working. Then it went up again, then it dropped a little, and now it's going back up. And now we're on a pace to go four times more than this number. That's where we're on pace for with the first 2 months of 2024. So that's 12 million. So that's a 3 million right there, 3 million cases. Now we're going to be up to 12 million. But don't worry, they have a vaccine ready now. So they've created more dengue fever. Why? Because the mosquitoes are getting the tetracycline. They're not dying. Now there's more mosquitoes giving more people dengue fever.
According to the NIH website, programs are being developed to allow human immunization via mosquito bite. It was Science Magazine that coined the phrase, flying syringes.
You think they can't make you take a shot? They're going to bring troops to your door? No, they're going to send mosquitoes to your backyard when you're watering the elephant ears. Or when you're getting the groceries out of the back of the car.
I got an article from NPR citing a study, and there's multiple other studies. They can use mosquitoes. What they've done is they call them flying syringes, right? So they genetically modify these mosquitoes. They bite you, and when a mosquito bites you, well, the stuff that they put back into you can act as a vaccine. There you go, NPR. They've got these mosquitoes that can vaccinate you against malaria. So what they do is they take these mosquitoes and they bioengineer them and they say, well, listen, these mosquitoes that we've bioengineered have malaria, but it can't make you sick, right? They've edited it in a way where
just
that
like
malaria
he does
is not
with
to make
the number one cause in the world is Bill Gates's polio vaccine is the number one cause of polio. Guys, put up Reuters for him. Is that where you're going with this?
That's exactly where I'm going with it.
Texas is reporting a case of locally transmitted malaria. It's rare and the first in our state since 1994. And there hasn't been a case of malaria caught locally in the U.S. since 2003. The CDC is reporting that these four people from Florida and then another person from Texas contracted this disease between late May and late June through what they're saying is local transmission. So I did ask Border Patrol if they were concerned that malaria and other diseases were in fact coming over the border with migrants seeking a better life.
When we're hearing that there's individuals coming into the United States from all over the world, a lot of them are not getting screened, they're not getting checked.
And yes, in 2021, with the financial support of the Gates Foundation, GlaxoSmithKline developed a malaria vaccine, a clear case of problem reaction solution, where once again Bill Gates adds to his massive fortune through nefarious means. So yes, people are concerned. Bill Gates has become an American pariah, following his hand in the rollout of COVID vaccines that continue to injure and kill millions of Americans. A scourge upon humanity due to his buyout of American farmland in favor of Chinese infiltration, GMO crops, and livestock. Bill Gates is an awful person and shouldn't be in charge of anything supposedly benefiting humanity. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
All right, so they've already launched the monkeypox hysteria and declared a world emergency, but nobody's buying that. They tried 6 months ago up until right now to make everybody do PCR tests at farms and poultry facilities and wear hazmat suits telling them there's deadly bird flu everywhere, even though all these positives they have on people have all been false positives. So they're trying to create the same old hysteria they did 4.5 years ago, but it's not working. So now Bill Gates is running around releasing all these mosquitoes and trying the same thing. It's just absolutely insane and totally and completely transparent. And they do it over and over again. That's why it's so important to realize that medicine and entertainment, establishment entertainment, and big agro, big food is all owned by BlackRock and a handful of families, and they're using it as a control system against people. Again, they just came out Thursday. The federal government said, we've been suppressing for many years, 30 years of studies, including new ones, and they just focused on IQ in children and how fluoride makes their IQ drop massively. It doesn't protect them. It also creates infertility, cancer, depression, You name it. So that's why what RFK Jr. is doing is so important. Here's a clip of RFK Jr. talking about this on another Fox show, which is just beautiful. We're seeing the greatest level of education about this. We're really breaking their backs. This is clip 11. Former presidential candidate RFK breaks down the effects of processed foods in American diet in 2 minutes and 14 seconds, short and sweet. But you should, it's posted on InfoWars.com. You know what? His speech is like an hour and a half long, though, and it was so good. Maybe you guys can find his speech. He does it at the kind of the middle and the end, and where he talks about we need to save the children. We need to love the children more than we hate each other. Maybe next hour we should play a few of those clips up front. Because, I mean, they know the shots are killing them. They know they don't protect them. It's just, you have to admit they're doing this to you. Here's RFK Jr.
Skyrocketing.
Yeah, because that is a direct result of corruption. About 75% of FDA's budget comes from regulated industry, and that means food processors and pharmaceutical industry, all of them profit from a sick population. In our country, natural flavors are chemical products. So you can't trust what's on the ingredient label, and the reason for that, again, is government corruption. It's that the agency, the USDA, the FDA, have been captured by the industries they're supposed to regulate. And they all have an interest in subsidies and then in mass poisoning the American public.
Yeah.
Yeah, as president, I'll issue an executive order on day one that anybody who is recommending food products in USDA or FDA at any of those committees, if you are going to be on those committees, you have to have no conflict of interest. We spend 5 times our military budget on chronic disease.
Yeah.
And it's made us the sickest population in the world. And if you wonder why we're the sickest people in the world, why do we have these epidemics of ADHD and depression and all these kind of psychiatric illnesses that have been linked by the science to these kind of foods, to the ingredients in these foods, and why do we have these neurological disorders, all this epidemic of autoimmune disease. The advisors who actually choose the nutrition guidelines are almost all of corrupted. They're conflicted.
Mm-hmm. Are you willing to take on a position like this in the Trump administration as health czar?
Well, one way or the other, I'm going to be fighting to get this stuff out of our foods. I mean, we're poisoned. We have a generation of kids that are swimming around in a toxic soup right now. And we need to, we're betraying them. We're supposed to be taking care of our kids. And we're letting these industries corrupt our agencies and mass poison them. And, nobody in the world has a chronic disease epidemic of the kind that we have in this country. Yeah.
Now, folks, you got to ask yourselves, RFK Jr., now he's getting Trump to do it. We've been at the tip of the spear for 30 years. We're saving lives on this broadcast. We're almost turning the tide. In fact, the tide is turning on this. They are murdering tens of millions of people a year with this garbage. They're making us sick and unhealthy to control us. And people are finally facing the full horror of this. So we cannot do this without your support. That's why when you spread the articles and videos, and when you tell your friends and neighbors and family and share the live show feed on your text links and via email and say, hey, this is important. Tune into this and research it and share it. People are ready for this now. That's how we change the world. You're the Paul Revere's. You pray for the broadcast, and you pay to keep the broadcast on air because it takes your money to fund our operation. Plus, we sell you great products that enrich your life so you'll like them and love them and come back and get them. InfoWarsStore.com. 40% off Nitric Boost. It cleans out your blood and your heart and your brain and your capillaries and does so much for your whole body and enriches your life. You got to take it. It's amazing. Men will definitely notice the difference. I'll just leave it at that. 40% off from the InfoWars MD line of incredible products. We've got the highest quality CBD gummies and liquid under InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com. And we've got a limited supply of Vitamin Mineral Fusion. It's amazing. And of our body's ultimate turmeric formula, 95% curcuminoid. It's all discounted at InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. You can call, talk to our operators, order over the phone, ask any questions. 888-253-3139 or InfoWarsStore.com. Particularly check out the InfoWars MD line of products, the InfoWars 1,000 milligram organic vitamin C with rose hips and zinc. It's amazing. The Linus Pauling formula, it's discounted 40%. Infowarsstore.com or 888-253-3139. And then don't forget our other great sponsor, my dad's company, right here in Central Texas as well. All the nano silver products you can't get at InfoWars Store, they're at drjonesnaturals.com. The nano silver toothpaste, the next level foundational energy that isn't an energy but gives you energy. It's amazing. It's all there at drjonesnaturals.com. Next level foundational energy, silver bullet, highest quality colloidal silver, CabaChill, no letdown but very relaxing, Shroom Force to dial up your brain without a stimulant and for your immune system. It's all there. In stock, ready to ship at drjonesnaturals.com, and you keep us in the fight, so I salute you and thank you. Now take action. Hour number two straight ahead.
Hello, everyone. Welcome so much for being here. I'd like to introduce everyone to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
I'm sorry to keep everybody waiting. 16 months ago, in April of 2023, I launched my campaign for President of the United States. I began this journey as a Democrat, the party of my father, my uncle, the party which I pledged my own allegiance to long before I was old enough to vote. I attended my first Democratic convention at the age of six in 1960. And back then, the Democrats were the champions of the Constitution and CEO, the cognitive decline of the sitting president. I left the party to run as an independent. The mainstream of American politics and journalism derided my decision. Conventional wisdom said that it would be impossible even to get on the ballot as an independent because each state poses an insurmountable tangle of arbitrary rules for collecting signatures. I would need over 1 million signatures, something no presidential candidate in history had ever achieved. And then I'd need a team of attorneys and millions of dollars to handle all the legal challenges from the DNC. The naysayers told us that we were climbing a glass version of Mount Impossible. So the first thing I want to tell you is that we proved them wrong. We did it because beneath the radar of mainstream media organs, we inspired a massive independent political movement. More than 100,000 volunteers sprang into action, hopeful that they could reverse our nation's decline. Many worked 10-hour days, sometimes in blizzards and blazing heat. They sacrificed family time, personal commitments, and sleep month after month, energized by a shared vision of a nation healed of its divisions. They set up tables at churches and farmers' markets. They canvassed door to door. In Utah and in New Hampshire, volunteers collected signatures in snowstorms, convincing each supporter to stop in the frigid cold, to take off their gloves, and to sign legibly. During a heat wave in Nevada, I met a tall, athletic volunteer who cheerfully told me that he had lost 25 pounds collecting signatures in 117-degree heat. To finance this effort, young Americans donated their lunch money, and senior citizens gave up their part of their Social Security checks. Our 50-state organization collected those millions of signatures and more. No presidential campaign in American political history has ever done that. And so I want to thank all of those dedicated volunteers and congratulate the campaign staff who coordinated this enormous logistical feat. Your accomplishments were regarded as impossible. You carried me up that glass mountain. You pulled off a miracle. You achieved what all the pundits said could never be done. You have my deepest gratitude, and I'm never going to forget that, not just for what you did for my campaign, but for the sacrifices you made because you love our country. You showed everyone that democracy is still possible here. It continues to survive in the press and in the idealistic human energies that still thrive beneath a canvas of neglect and of official and institutional corruption. Today, I'm here to tell you that I will not allow your efforts to go to waste. I'm here to tell you that I will leverage your tremendous accomplishments to serve the ideals that we share, the ideals of peace, of prosperity, of freedom, of health, all the ideals that motivated my campaign. I'm here today to describe the path forward that you've opened with your commitment and with your hard labors. Now, in an honest system, I believe that I would have won the election. In a system the kind that my father and my uncles thrived in, a system with open debates, with fair primaries, with regularly scheduled debates, with fair primaries, and with a truly independent media untainted by government propaganda and censorship, in a system of nonpartisan courts and election boards, everything would be different. After all, the polls consistently showed me beating each of the other candidates, both in favorability and also in head-to-head matchups. But I'm sorry to say that while democracy may still be alive at the grassroots, it has become little more than a slogan for our political institutions, for our media, and for our government, and most sadly at all for me, the Democratic Party. In the name of saving democracy, the Democratic Party set itself to dismantling it, lacking confidence in its candidate, that its candidate could win in a fair election at the voting booth. The DNC waged continual legal warfare against both President Trump and myself. Each time that our volunteers turned in those towering boxes of signatures needed to get on the ballot, the DNC dragged us into court, state after state, attempting to erase their work and to subvert the will of the voters who had signed those petitions. It deployed DNC-aligned judges to throw me and other candidates off the ballot and to throw President Trump in jail. It ran a sham primary that was rigged to prevent any serious challenge to President Biden. Then, when a predictably bungled debate performance precipitated the palace coup against President Biden, the same shadowy DNC operatives appointed his successor, also without an election. They installed a candidate who was so unpopular with voters that she dropped out in 2020. Without winning a single delegate. My uncle and my father both relished debate. They prided themselves on their capacity to go toe-to-toe with any opponent in the battle over ideas. They would be astonished to learn of a Democratic Party presidential nominee who, like Vice President Harris, has not appeared in a single interview or an unscripted encounter with voters for 35 days. This is profoundly undemocratic. How are people to choose when they don't know whom they are choosing? And how can this look to the rest of the world? My father and my uncle were always conscious of America's image abroad because of our nation's role as the template for democracy, the role model for democratic processes, and the leader of the free world. Instead of showing us her substance and character, the DNC and its media organs engineered a surge of popularity for Vice President Harris based upon, well, nothing. No policies, no interviews, no debates, only smoke and mirrors and balloons in a highly produced Chicago circus. There in Chicago, a string of Democratic speakers mentioned Donald Trump 147 times just on the first day. Oh, who needs a policy when you have Trump to hate? In contrast, at the RNC convention, President Biden was mentioned only twice in 4 days. I do interviews every day. Many of you have interviewed me. Anybody who asks gets to interview me. Some days I do as many as 10. President Trump, who actually was nominated and won an election, also does interviews daily. How did the Democratic Party choose a candidate that has never done an interview or debate during the entire election cycle? We know the answers. They did it by weaponizing the government agencies. They did it by abandoning democracy. They did it by suing the opposition and by disenfranchising American voters. What most alarms me isn't how the Democratic Party conducts its internal affairs or runs its candidates. What alarms me is the resort to censorship and media control and the weaponization of the federal agencies. When a U.S. president colludes with or outright coerces media companies to censor political speech, it's an attack on our most sacred right, a free expression, and that's the very right upon which all of our other constitutional rights rest. President Biden mocked Vladimir Putin's 88% landslide in the Russian elections, observing that Putin and his party controlled the Russian press, and that Putin prevented serious opponents from appearing on the ballot. But here in America, the DNC also prevented opponents from appearing on the ballot. And our television networks exposed themselves as Democratic Party organs over the course of more than a year in a campaign where my poll numbers reached at times in the high 20s. The DNC-aligned mainstream media networks maintain a near-perfect embargo on interviews with me. During his 10-month presidential campaign in 1992, Ross Perot gave 34 interviews on mainstream networks. In contrast, during the 16 months since I declared, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, and CNN combined gave only 2 live interviews from me. Those networks instead ran a continuous deluge of hit pieces with inaccurate, often vile, pejoratives and defamatory smears. Some of those same networks and colluded with the DNC to keep me off the debate stage. Representatives of those networks are in this room right now, and I'll just take a moment to ask you to consider the many ways that your institutions have abdicated this really sacred responsibility, the duty of a free press to safeguard democracy and to challenge always the party in power. Instead of maintaining that posture of fierce skepticism toward authority, your institutions have made themselves government mouthpieces and stenographers for the organs of power. You didn't alone cause the devolution of American democracy, but you could have prevented it. The Democratic Party's censorship of social media was even more of a naked exercise of executive power. This week, a federal judge, Terry Doty, upheld my injunction against President Biden, calling the White House's censorship project, quote, the most egregious violation of the First Amendment in the history of the United States of America. Doty's previous 155-page decision details how, just 37 hours after he took the oath of office, swearing to uphold the Constitution, President Biden and his White House opened up a portal and then invited the CIA, the FBI, CISA, which is a censorship agency, it's the center of the censorship industrial complex, DHS, the IRS, and other agencies to censor me and other political dissidents on social media. Even today, users who try to post my campaign videos to Facebook or YouTube get messages that this content violates community standards. 2 days after Judge Doty rendered his decision this week, Facebook was still attaching warning labels to an online petition calling on ABC to include me in the upcoming debate. They said that violates community standards, their community standards. The mainstream media was once the guardian of the First Amendment and democratic principles, and it's joined this systemic attack on democracy. It also the media justifies their censorship on the grounds of combating misinformation. But governments and oppressors don't censor lies. They don't fear lies. They fear the truth, and that's what they censor. And I don't want any of this to sound like a personal complaint, because it's not. For me, it's all part of a journey, and it's a journey that I signed up with. But I need to make these observations because I think they're critical for us doing the thing that we need to do as citizens in a democracy, to assess where we are in this country and what our democracy still looks like, and the assumptions about U.S. leadership around the globe. And are we living, are we really still a role model for democracy in this country? Or have we made it, you know, a kind of a joke? And here's the good news. While mainstream outlets denied me a critical platform, they didn't shut down my ideas, which have especially flourished among young voters and independent voters, thanks to the alternative media. Many months ago, I promised the American people that I would withdraw from the race if I became a spoiler. A spoiler is someone who will alter the outcome of the election but has no chance of winning. In my heart, I no longer believe that I have a realistic path to electoral victory in the face of this relentless systematic censorship and media control. So I cannot in good conscience ask my staff and volunteers to keep working their long hours or ask my donors to keep giving when I cannot honestly tell them that I have a real path to the White House. Furthermore, our polling consistently showed that by staying on the ballot in the battleground states, I would likely hand the election over to the Democrats, with whom I disagree on the most existential issues, censorship, war, and chronic disease. I want everyone to know that I am not terminating my campaign. I am simply suspending it and not ending it. My name will remain on the ballot in most states. If you live in a blue state, you can vote for me without harming or helping President Trump or Vice President Harris. In red states, the same will apply. I encourage you to vote for me. And if enough of you do vote for me, and neither of the major party candidates win 270 votes, which is quite possible, in fact, today our polling shows them tying at 269 to 269. And I could conceivably still end up in the White House in a contingent election. But in about 10 battleground states where my presence would be a spoiler, I'm going to remove my name. And I've already started that process and urge voters not to vote for me. It's with a sense of victory and not defeat that I'm suspending my campaign activities. Not only did we do the impossible by collecting 1 million signatures, we changed the national political conversation forever. Chronic disease, free speech, government corruption, breaking our addiction to war have moved to the center of politics. I can say to all who have worked so hard the last year and a half, thank you for a job well done. Three great causes drove me to enter this race in the first place, primarily. And these are the principal causes that persuaded me to leave the Democratic Party and run as an independent. And now to throw my support to President Trump. The causes were free speech, a war in Ukraine, and the war on our children. I've already described some of my personal experiences and struggles with the government censorship industrial complex. I want to say a word about the Ukraine war. The military industrial complex has provided us with a familiar comic book justification, like they do on every war, that this one is a noble effort to stop a supervillain, Vladimir Putin, from invading the Ukraine and then to thwart his Hitler-like march across Europe. In fact, tiny Ukraine is a proxy in a geopolitical struggle initiated by the ambitions of the U.S. neocons or American global hegemony. I'm not excusing Putin for invading Ukraine. He had other options. But the war is Russia's predictable response to the reckless neocon project of extending NATO to encircle Russia, a hostile act. The credulous media rarely explained to Americans that we unilaterally walked away from two intermediate nuclear weapons treaties with Russia and then put nuclear-ready Aegis missile systems in Romania and Poland. This is a hostile act. And that the Biden White House repeatedly spurned Russia's offer to settle this war peacefully. The Ukraine war began in 2014 when U.S. agencies overthrew the democratically elected government of Ukraine and installed a handpicked pro-Western government that launched a deadly civil war against ethnic Russians in Ukraine. In 2019, America walked away from a peace treaty, the Minsk Agreement, that had been negotiated between Russia and Ukraine by European nations. And then in April of 2022, we wanted the war. In April of 2022, President Biden sent Boris Johnson to Ukraine to force President Zelensky to tear up a peace agreement that he and the Russians had already signed, and the Russians were withdrawing troops from Kiev and Donbass and Luhansk. And that peace agreement would have brought peace to the region and would have allowed Donbass and Luhansk to remain part of Ukraine. President Biden stated that month that his objective in the war was regime change in Russia. His Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin simultaneously explained that America's purpose in the war was to exhaust the Russian army, to degrade its capacity to fight anywhere else in the world. These objectives, of course, have nothing to do with what they were telling Americans about protecting Ukraine's sovereignty. Ukraine is a victim in this war, and it's a victim of the West. Since then, since tearing up that agreement, forcing Zelensky to tear up the agreement, we've squandered the flower of Ukrainian youth, as many as 600,000 Ukrainian kids and over 100,000 Russian kids, all of whom we should be mourning, have died, and the Ukraine's infrastructure is destroyed. The war has been a disaster for our country as well.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I am Chase Geiser, your host for the next 30 minutes, and then for the following couple of hours after that. I'm not sure if we're going to be joined by Roger Stone or not, but thank you for having me. It's always an honor and a pleasure to speak to this distinguished audience. And such fitting music to come in, because we are witnessing the pending massacre of our republic by psychopaths, by lunatics, by sociopaths. And I think I've reached a new pinnacle of frustration this weekend, because we had what amounted to a miraculous week last week. I was joking with my wife, who's Catholic, about how Trump has now officially performed two miracles, and I don't understand why the Catholic Church won't saint him. I think that's one of the requirements in order to become a saint is to perform two miracles. So we saw that he survived this assassination attempt via miracle on July 13th. And now we saw the miracle of RFK Jr., of all people, coming out and endorsing him, effectively giving him somewhere between 6 to 11% of all voters' support, which is astronomical. And then the left's coming out and they're complaining and saying, oh, it's not relevant. On the one hand, they're trying to say it's not relevant. On the other hand, they're trying to say how bad of a person he is. And then on the other hand, they're actually admitting that, oh, no, this was devastating. So we have this panic happening right before our eyes on social media, everywhere, mainstream media, if anybody's watching. I swear to God, if it wasn't for InfoWars, I don't think anybody would watch any clips or moments from any of the major mainstream networks, whether it was CNN, MSNBC, and these others, because we watch closely, study what's going on, pull the clips, say this is what the deep state wants you to think, this is what Project Mockingbird wants you to think or see. And then we had the leftists coming out and talking about how this CEO of Telegram was arrested. It's because of child pornography, as if the reason the French police are arresting him has anything to do with child pornography, where in France, the age of consent is 15 years old. Oh, you don't think maybe it has to do with all the awareness that's been coming out about the migrants and all the Telegram channels that are associated with how terrible these migrants are and all these communities in the United Kingdom? You don't think maybe it has anything to do with that? But the reason I've reached this new pinnacle of frustration is because now there's just no question. There's really never been any excuse. But now there's no excuse even for people who don't pay attention because it's so glaringly obvious. There's no excuse to support the Kamala Harris, Tim Walz ticket. There is no excuse to be a leftist anymore. And so all the frustrations, all of the pangs that I felt in my heart scrolling through my social media feed, seeing dumb comment after dumb comment, whether it's from the Sissons or the Krasensteins or close friends of mine who won't talk to me anymore because I work for Alex Jones and I'm a Trump supporter, a white supremacist, important mentor of mine in high school, gone. Important mentors of mine in college, dismissed me. Best friends, best man at my wedding, dismissed me. You know, before it was like, all right, this person's just ignorant. You know, this sucks that this is happening. But now it's like, no. There is a level of cognitive dissonance that's going on that is beyond unfortunate. It is like criminal. It is dangerously evil, dangerously stupid, in the wise words of Harrison Smith. And I think that we need to wake up as a country and really grow a pair of balls and do something about it. And I'm not talking about violence. I'm never talking about violence on air. Even if I wanted violence, I would never say it on air because I would never do anything to compromise the health and success of this network or Alex Jones. But there's an amazing line from the movie War Dogs with Bradley Cooper. And he says, "I am not a bad man, but in certain situations, I have to ask myself, what would a bad man do?" And I think we're getting to that point where we need to start asking ourselves, okay, what would bad men do? What would tricky people do? What would Machiavellian people do in order to stop this terrible takeover of our republic and the destruction of humanity itself as a result? Tucker Carlson reacts to reports of Telegram CEO's arrest. This is going to be clip number 16. The arrest of Telegram founder Pavel Durov in France is a warning to online platforms that stand up to censorship, American journalist and political commentator Tucker Carlson has said. And the crowd is like, oh, it's not freedom of expression or freedom of speech to have child porn. Yeah, fucking asshole. It's not the child porn that's the reason he was taken off. Child porn's been a problem on every major platform for 5 to 10 years because it's impossible to navigate all the content on your platform. The reason they're finally arresting him has nothing to do with child pornography. It's because of all the political unrest that's going on, you idiot. Let's run the clip. Clip number 16, please. Do you have the clip?
If you get too much attention the FBI, the security agencies, wherever we came to the U.S. So to give you an example, last time I was in the U.S., I brought an engineer that is working for Telegram, and there was an attempt to secretly hire my engineer behind my back by cybersecurity officers or agents, wherever they are called.
The U.S. government should hire your engineer.
This guy's not peddling child porn. It's obvious.
To write code for them or to break into Telegram?
They were curious to learn which open source libraries are integrated to the Telegram's app, you know, on the client side, and they were trying to persuade him to use certain open source tools that he would then integrate into the Telegram's code that, in my understanding, would serve as backdoors.
Would allow the U.S. government to spy on people who use Telegram?
The U.S. government, or maybe any other government, because a backdoor is a backdoor regardless of who is using it.
That's right. That's a little surprising to hear. Maybe it's not surprising. It's offensive. You're confident that happened?
Yes. There is no reason for my engineer to make up the stories. Also because I personally experienced similar pressure in the U.S. Whenever I would go to the U.S., I would have two FBI agents greeting me at the airport, asking questions. One time I was having my breakfast at like 9 a.m. and the FBI showed up at my house that I was renting. And that was quite surprising. And I thought, you know, we're getting too much attention here. It's probably not the best environment to run.
Why would the had you committed a crime?
No. They were interested to learn more about Telegram. They knew I, you know, left Russia. They knew what we were doing, but they wanted details. And my understanding is that they wanted to establish a relationship to, kind of, in a way, control Telegram better. I understand that they were doing their job. It's just that for us running a privacy-focused social media platform, that probably wasn't the best environment to be in. We want to be focused on what we do.
Look, this Maoist approach to censorship is now seeping into the leftist ticket in a very explicit way. Now they don't even try to hide the fact that they're communists or Maoists. The media has to try to run cover for them, but the campaigns aren't even running cover for themselves because they're like, well, you don't have to cover for us. We're happy to be Maoists. We have this clip of how this censorship excuse has been used time and time again. This is Tim Walz saying there's no guarantee of free speech. It's a very short clip, clip number 20. Musk highlights Walz's anti-free speech beliefs. By sharing this clip, the Krasnsteins come out and say, oh, Walz is just talking about disinformation or misinformation around voting information, when it's obvious in the 8-second clips that this dude does not believe that freedom of speech is an inalienable right. And yes, he is talking about censoring commentary around voting misinformation, as if the government cares about lies versus the truth. And we know it's the epitome of a lying organization. It's a terrorist lying organization itself. But we know that based on the words that he used in this own thing, he's talking about hate speech. He's talking about other misinformation, including voter misinformation, as he states it, not reduced just to the one. And so here in this clip, number 20, let's listen to what Tim Walz says for yourself. Do you think this guy's a Maoist, or do you think that he's some America First Amendment-toting, constitutional-backing politician that's just a good old boy with a retarded kid? Let's watch.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech,
but
and especially around our democracy.
But there is. Like, that's just not. Yes, there is. That's not true. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Are we skipping the break? Okay, thank you. And we've got Musk responding to this. Let's watch clip number 9 of Musk here breaking down the importance of free speech.
Free speech used to be a left or liberal value. And yet we see from, you know, the in quotes left, a desire to actually censor. That seems crazy. I mean, I think we should be extremely concerned about anything that undermines the First Amendment. There's a reason for the First Amendment.
Yeah, like Tim Walz himself. We should be deeply concerned about Tim Walz himself.
Where they could not speak freely and where saying certain things would get you thrown into prison. And they were like, well, we don't want that here. And by the way, in many parts of the world, including parts of the world that people might think are relatively similar to the United States, the speech laws are draconian.
Yeah, absolutely. In clip 5 here, we've got another Bill Maher moment. Amazing. Maher and Carville stunned by RFK Jr.'s endorsement of Trump. What do we make of this? Let's watch clip number 5, please.
RFK is pulling out, although it's a little murky. He says he's still on the ballot in some places, but he did say, I am giving my endorsement to Donald Trump.
I'll take it too. For those of us who are
a certain age who grew up with the Kennedys, I mean, to have a Kennedy endorse not just any Republican, but the worst one ever. what do we make of this, gentlemen?
Well, you know, every family has a whatever. That guy is not weird. There's something that, there's an expression you use in yours. That boy ain't right. Okay? There's something way weird. You're weird. Okay? That's nothing wrong with being weird. But that boy ain't right. He just did something wrong. He hit his head or something. I don't know what.
I wouldn't go that far, but
I would.
Okay.
All right, folks, we are joined by Roger Stone, who is tuning in remotely. I'm very excited to talk to Roger. I've been a fan of Roger Stone's for a very long time. He's been incredibly gracious to me on a number of occasions, coming on my podcast before I really had an audience. He did a blurb for the back of my book. Really a true patriot and brilliant political analyst. If Roger is ready, Roger, how are you, sir? It's wonderful to be with you, and always an honor and a pleasure.
It's great to be with you. I just finished 3 live hours at 77 WABC Radio in New York, the most powerful, influential AM radio station in the country. A lot of patriots calling in. It was a great exchange. We do the Stone Zone on the phone segment that's very popular. But no, everybody's excited about this extraordinary development. The mainstream media, of course, would like to play down or not cover it all. But Robert F. Kennedy, scion of one of the most famous Democrat dynasties in the country, endorsing Republican Donald Trump for president, abandoning an independent candidacy after he attempted to run in the family, in the party, pardon me, of his uncle and his brother, to be kneecapped by the party bosses there, the same people who kneecapped Bernie Sanders, who came lovingly back with him with his endorsement, proving that he was never really a man of integrity. You can be a communist, but an honest communist, meaning you believe in communism. But, you know, Bernie skimmed 2 presidential campaigns of enormous media commissions, perfectly legal, but you know, he's driving a top-of-the-line Mercedes. He's got 3 homes.
Yeah.
Socialism for you, Chase, but not for the proletariat. So this is an incredibly exciting development, because what it really means is a realignment. You see, the two parties used to be quite different. Both the Republican and Democrat Party, the Democrat Party of John Kennedy and Harry Truman, was still a party of free enterprise, a party of capitalism, a party of a strong national defense. In the case of Kennedy, a party of low taxes, a party committed to sound money, a party committed to national defense. Prominent Democrats like Henry Scoop Jackson, one of the leading voices for a strong national defense. That Democrat Party no longer exists. The party has been hijacked by a group of Marxist radicals who believe in none of those things. Lee and Robert Kennedy had, I think, a great appeal among old-fashioned, more traditional Democrats, a lot of independents, a lot of young people. Also, people say, well, if he's out, how does his vote redistribute? I think it does benefit Trump. It is also true, though, that there are a certain number of voters who would not have voted in the process other than RFK, and what they end up doing could be crucial to this race. But we did see a poll memo leak from pollster Tony Fabrizio that shows without any question that Trump benefits in every swing state.
Yes.
By the removal of by the withdrawal of Kennedy.
Well, if it was a nothing burger, he wouldn't have brought him out on stage and spent all the time with them. Like, it was very obvious that internally both the left and the right realized the implications of this, regardless of what the media reports.
Which is why the left is now trying to vilify him. He's because of his views on health freedom, he's a nut.
You're right. Cocaine dealer, even though he's been taking on the biggest drug dealers in the world, Big Pharma, for decades.
He's admitted that he has not lived a perfect life.
Sure.
But in the eyes of the Lord, anyone can be redeemed, including Roger Stone. So yeah. I think he's been forthright about that.
Yes.
I think he identified in the lack of affordable housing in the country a huge issue that wasn't being addressed. It doesn't matter whether you're trying to be a first-time buyer, which is virtually impossible, because Trump points out the money's not available. Even if you could service a mortgage. So he's been right about the lack of affordable housing. He's opposed to expansion of the war in Ukraine, which he wants to no longer fund. He understands the deep state because, well, they killed his uncle. He knows they killed his father. Amazing interview with him and Mike Tyson on his assassination, immediately banned by YouTube. Immediately. Outrageous. I think he now understands that whoever tried to kill Donald Trump are the same institutions and the same forces that killed his father.
Yes.
And his uncle.
Yes. I think that was the moment he decided that he was going to do this, or to start, began seriously considering it.
Well, I also think that, look, he started with a great optimism. I know him a little bit. We're not close friends. I met him at a health freedom conference. Mm-hmm. General Flynn spoke at the same conference. My friend Charlene Bollinger, who's a great advocate about both vaccinations and cancer, were there, and a picture was snapped. Now, trolls put that up constantly on social media saying, here's proof that Kennedy's entire candidacy was a Roger Stone, Steve Bannon production, which is absolutely ridiculous. First of all, I don't know him that well. Secondarily, I never urged him to run for president. Mm-hmm. Was my opinion that to be a force, he might have been better off to save millions of dollars and a lot of frustration in a two-party system to run the Democrat primary, get screwed by Biden, leave a martyr, and then endorse Trump, which I always thought was a potential path. I wrote a whimsical piece about RFK for vice president, Substack, I think prior to Steve Bannon mentioning this. Mm-hmm. I think that because of his opposition to war, because of his commitment to fix our food, to ensure that we're not being poisoned by our food, to fight the chronic illness and the obesity that's plaguing the country. Somebody also, and this is probably the most important because everything else goes off of it, and that is censorship. If we cannot speak, we cannot succeed.
Right, right, absolutely. And it is. And I've been anxious to see Trump come back to the censorship issue. Dave Smith did an amazing interview. I think it might have been on Tucker. I can't remember specifically where he said, look, the Trump campaign needs to come back to the censorship topic. And it's easy to forget because the it's been so long since the initial wounds of that 3 or 4 years ago, but that pain is still abundantly felt. And just because Elon Musk brought X back and privatized X, turned it from Twitter to X, doesn't mean that censorship isn't still a major problem. Do you think the Trump campaign is going to ramp up and kind of reawaken to the censorship as an important issue to voters? Not that they ever forgot, but start talking about it again.
I think that that many people don't really understand that today, mm-hmm. all the big Facebook, particularly,
yeah,
it's Instagram, TikTok, and of course the nefarious activities of Google, the biggest manipulator of information prior to an election. If you're a Democrat, you get a vote reminder. If you're a Republican, you don't. How about that? All of those are substantial problems. Yes, X is great. It still has algorithms that seem to penalize some conservatives, but not all. I'm grateful to Elon because, as a part of lynching me, they had to censor me first. I was gagged by the court and then kicked off every social media platform. I could never even defend myself, which was – there was no basis. I was actually never told why, but on one swoped day, I got banned in all those places. So if it weren't Musk, I would not have my voice back. I love Truth Social. I like Telegram. My account there never grows. I really don't know why I'm there. But what's going on there regarding the owner and developer of Telegram, right, is the most chilling news.
And they're trying to blame it on child pornography when in France the lawful age of consent is 15 and all the other platforms have a similar problem. It's really hard to stay on top of this pervasive publishing of this type of content, whether you're Facebook or Twitter. I mean, it's just hard. You have to use AI to monitor it. But it seems very obvious that child pornography has nothing to do with this attack on Telegram. That's just an excuse that they're using to bring them down for political purposes.
You know, and I do think people need to recognize that both Robert Kennedy and John Kennedy were staunch, ardent anti-communists.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Kennedy worked for Senator Joseph McCarthy, the great red hunter, mm-hmm. In the U.S. Senate. Robert and Ethel Kennedy were at the wedding when Joe McCarthy and his wife got married. The only Democrat to show up at Joe McCarthy's funeral were Robert and Ethel Kennedy. He was a fierce critic of Castro, and he was very tough on the communists in this regime. John F. Kennedy was equally hardline against the communists. He didn't want to be rushed into a war by the generals, but he still understood the existential right for freedom. People don't know this, but in 1946, both Nixon and John Kennedy were elected to the House. Nixon went after Alger Hiss, who was a communist spy but was a media darling. Jack Kennedy personally gave Richard Nixon's 1948 reelection $250. Mm-hmm. Then 1950, when Richard Nixon ran for the Senate, which would lead him to the vice presidency and ultimately to the presidency, but other than Trump, the only man to be nominated three times by the Republican Party, he was immediately in a position where, you know, he could win it all.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and I saw those clips kind of resurface of Nixon telling stories about the Kennedys kind of supporting him in the past. It's interesting stuff this week. But
my point I'm making, of course, is they were anti-communist. Nixon was running against
Ellinger. You're right. Well, Democrats and Republicans used to argue about best policies for the American people. And at some point, I don't know when the exact moment was, but it seems to have been a major shift where now it's just arguing for the sake of power, right? We used to argue about things about how high should the tax rate be on a certain income bracket. Now we're arguing about whether or not to sterilize children.
Look, it's very clear that Robert Kennedy has absolutely convinced the president that the poisoning of our food and the chronic diseases causing could be, other than censorship and war, the three most important issues. I think for those of us who are health freedom supporters, but also strong supporters of Donald Trump, who defended him when people tried to say his record on COVID-19 was somehow different or inferior to Ron DeSantis, which it was not in any way. Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't mean that we haven't had a different view. I think, therefore, Kennedy is going to be a very positive influence on the president, just bringing him information that heretofore maybe hasn't been brought to his attention.
Absolutely. Well, we're coming up on a break here in about 18 seconds, Roger. An honor and a pleasure to have you. I want to keep you for about 15 minutes or so on the other side of this break. Can't skip these because the radio audience, we need to do them. But great stuff. I'm very excited to continue talking with you about this in about 2 minutes or so.